The world-renowned Circus and Allied Arts Collection at Illinois State University's Milner Library just expanded by 250,000 items, many rare and one-of-a-kind pieces of circus history. Laura Kennedy has more.
You could call Herbert Eckert the ultimate circus superfan. The Sarasota, Florida man has been collecting circus items for decades and now has decided that Illinois State University's Milner Library is just the place for his vast and unique collection. Mark Schmidt, Senior Specialist in Special Collections, and Maureen Brunsdale, Special Collections Librarian, say they're both bowled over and excited by this magnanimous donation that contains a dizzying array of material.
Oh my gosh, where to start? Photographs, thousands of photographs. He gave us original poster art along with posters. He gave us props, costumes.
Negatives, slides, thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of things.
And his name is Herbert Eckert. Who is this guy?
He is a lifelong circus fan and enthusiast. He is a past president of Circus Fans Association of America. And he's a retired high school librarian from Las Vegas, Nevada. But throughout his entire life, his passion was circus. So he built up this collection.
Why did he decide to give this to Illinois State University? He lives in Sarasota, Florida. That is where the Ringling Museum is. And he's just a stone's throw from that. He could have driven over there and dumped some boxes off on the loading dock there. Yet he decided to donate it here.
His passion is education. As a retired high school librarian, he sees the impact education has on students. And every donor has a choice to make where they want their materials left. If not in the family, then where's it going to go? Is it going to go to a museum where it's going to be displayed and people can learn from it in that way? Or is it going to come to a place like ISU where it can be integrated into the curriculum and students can learn from it and in that way bring circus back to life? And that's where that's what really resonated with him, is to bring it to Illinois State University where it's going to get used and people are going to learn from it.
So Mark, tell me about the possibilities for study here, all the different departments that we have here on campus, and you've got all these amazing things. So how can the university in general benefit from this really amazing donation?
You name it. From geography, the obvious, like circuses are like routed, and so they go all over the country, sometimes the world. And you have geography, family and consumer science.
Family and consumer science, how's that?
With the genealogical angle of it, with the textile angle of it. Art, of course.
So they could come up and maybe study some posters?
Absolutely. We have so many beautiful stone lithographed posters that it is not unusual to have instructors doing lithography or intaglio coming over here and studying those amazing posters.
Business students can learn from the marketing, from how much that these circuses were spending on their marketing materials, their posters in this instance. Musicians. We have a number of scores for circus music that capture the songs of the day. That's something that we don't think of with circus, but actually circus played a pivotal role in the days before radio of making popular music, spreading it throughout the country.
Well, you have some items that are out here on the table, and when I walked in, the very first thing that I noticed was a big head of a frog.
Yes.
So tell me what this is.
Well, this came from Herb's collection. It is obviously a frog head used by a contortionist, and we have some photos of a contortionist there.
Okay, I need to know, why does a contortionist need a frog head?
You know, Mark and I were talking about this morning, and we're thinking, like, when we think of frogs, we think of rather sedentary or frogs that leap. But back in the day, and this would have been in the early teens and 1920s, there was a performer who would don this head and then have tights and a leotard, green ones, of course, to do his various contortion acts.
It does look like it's been through the ringer a bit. Do we know who specifically wore this?
Well, that's part of the joy, that we get to do some research to figure it out. Mark thinks that the gentleman we have pictured here was the Frogman.
I see some photos here. It says the Flexible Adonis.
This is Fred LeSeur. He was performing late 19-teens up through maybe the 1940s. Very slender, tall, and beyond flexible. And again, this frog head, I cannot even imagine what that would look like as he's performing. There is a window for him to see out,
I see, and then a strap down there too. It's just a screen, and it's painted. Well, it was painted yellow, but it's kind of been worn off now. So that's, and that wouldn't have provided a whole lot of oxygen with that thing over his head.
Fred Lucier has a local connection in that he married a woman who, her sister, was part of the Bob Fischer's Five Fearless Flyers. That's Maxine Musselman. We have so much material from Fred Lucier and the Musselmans in this collection that it's really bowled us over.
Okay, so over here we have
some original poster art.
These are beautiful.
Aren't they fun? On the right-hand side, we have what my sister likes to call the most alluring woman in circus ever. Her name was Dorothy Herbert, and she was obviously an equestrian with Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus for only a couple of seasons, but she had a very lengthy career. She has that come hither look down pat, I think.
And that looks like it's from the 1930s, judging from her hairstyle.
Exactly. And we have the poster that was made from.
So this is like the original stuff that the lithographer would use to create the posters.
And would show then the show owners and say, this is what we have in mind. Do you like it or not? These next two examples are kind of a parody on circus poster art. This middle one obviously has monkeys doing various acts, and again, a local connection because they have a flying troupe there performing as the Flying Cancellos.
And the Willendas act
right,
as well. So
exactly.
We have all animals doing this.
With Dorothy Herbert on horseback.
And a pretty little poodle that she's riding.
Yeah, exactly. And then another piece of early Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus poster art in almost cartoony format.
And so as we move down a little bit, we have some great black and white photographs.
Yeah, this was part of the Clyde Beatty Circus in the late 1940s, early 1950s, and you have the owners, Jerry Collins, Frank McCluskey, Walter McCluskey, Bill English, some of the people affiliated with the show, and of course, they didn't see the need to identify Clyde Beatty, but there he is.
These are some casual photographs of Clyde
Absolutely.
Beatty.
Absolutely, behind the backyard scenes, I guess is what we would call it, behind the curtain kind of scenes.
And you recently were given a big collection of Clyde Beatty stuff, so this is a nice addition.
It is a nice addition, and it gets us even closer to the man who was Clyde Beatty.
And what are these beautiful, colorful songster little things that we see here?
Neat. These range in date, and this is just a few samples from the songsters that we were given by Herbert, ranging from the 1882 up to 1890.
What is a songster exactly?
What is a songster? It's fantastic. Great question. It's the songs of the day.
Oh, wow.
So you have the music, you have the words, and this is how music traveled the country before people had a lot of radio sets. You know, they went to that circus and they heard that song. It was so catchy, they want to play it on their piano or...
Here's one called The Baby's Got a Tooth.
Yes.
So more poster art over here. Mark, what is this?
What this is...
I'm surprised. Tom Mix. Tom Mix himself with Tony, his horse.
I know. You are good. You are that good. Yes. Well, Tom Mix and Tony were with the circus for a number of years, and Mark will delight in telling you how the local connection works there.
Tom Mix worked on the Sam B. Dill Circus, and then Sam B. Dill, I believe, died. And Tom Mix took over that show, and while Tom Mix had his own show, he ultimately married Mabel Hubble, who was known as being part of the Flying Ward. She was Mabel Ward. And Tom Mix, his final wife, was Mabel Ward. And
it all just keeps coming back to Bloomington
it
Normal.
It does. It's crazy cool.
And this is really cool because it's only partly filled in, colored in. It's partly finished. Why is that, Mark?
It's done to as an example of what the colors might look like. And so if they didn't like the colors, they could change it in the rest of the example, and you can sort of see that in the note that they're saying
the sketch is okay as is. I want rich lemon yellow used for the ground with a bright eerie red lettering around it. Oh, that is really amazing.
And 15 sheet, if you consider that this poster behind you is one sheet, imagine 15 of those pasted together. That's what they're talking about. So this thing would have been huge.
It would have been like, it could have filled a block.
Yep.
A whole block of on along a fence. And we have a headdress right next to this.
Do.
I want to put this on, except
Who
that wouldn't fit my head.
Right?
So where does this beautiful, spangly, feathery headdress come from?
Well, you can see from the label that it's from the Brooks Van Horn Company out of New York. And we have a name, and then we have some numbers there. That name will help us identify who wore this particular headdress.
Adamson.
Adamson.
And I see the number 12.
Yep.
And then just a series of like numbers S. underneath the comb that holds it in the hair.
Yeah,
so that's more that's some more research for you right there.
Exactly, and we are so blessed because we have ISU has Maritza Ataide on campus. She's the wife of Ivan Stoyanov, the assistant coach or associate coach, I don't remember his title, of Gamma Phi Circus. And she worked as a wardrobe mistress for a number of years with Big Apple Circus. And she is volunteering her time here. We're so thrilled that she's doing that because she's helping us identify who actually wore these costumes and when.
Have you guys uncovered something in this collection that really just took your breath away and you went, oh, I never knew that?
You know, we have never before this collection had in our collection any original poster art. So for us to see that, for me to see that, to see the Tom Mix piece, for example, was otherworldly. I had no idea that that's how it was done until we got that.
We have an awful lot of correspondence between the lithographers and the show owners, but before that, we never had the visual examples, and so that's so cool to they meet.
Maureen Brunsdale and Mark Schmidt of Milner Library talked with GLT's Laura Kennedy. In time, the new donation will be digitized so that online researchers can view the unique items. Donations from Herbert Eckert include hundreds of costumes, which will take years to research. See photos from the new collection, including some jaw-dropping photos of a contortionist in action, at our website, WGLT.org. There will be an exhibit of circus artifacts from the new donation mid-March through April at Milner Library.